Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you.
Kia ora and good morning everyone. Welcome to this edition of Red Alert Radio on Planet FM 104.6. My name is Maya Lubeck and I'm a Member of Parliament for the Labour Party. And today I am your host here in the studio and I'm talking about banning conversion therapy. Now you'll say, or you might say if you've heard previous interviews, oh, that must be the third time she's doing it. But today I'm actually super excited because I've got three young people here with me in the studio and I'll introduce them in a minute. I would like to talk, just mention very briefly the people that I've interviewed in the previous conversion therapy interviews. Jim Marjoram and Paul Stevens. Who also featured in the TV documentary early on. Kyle MacDonald, Shannon Novak and Shannon Greenwich were really great talking to us earlier on about this topic. But today I've got Nehana from the Rainbow Rep from Princess Street Labour, Kai Arahi Taka Tapui.
Kia ora, Maya.
Hello, and I've got Shanil Lal, who is the Youth MP for Minister Salisa, Jenny Salisa, and he did a fantastic speech in Parliament back in July. Hello, Shanil.
Hello.
And Max Tweedy, who is former Young Greens, now the Director of Auckland Pride since June. Hello, Max.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Now, you guys, I'm super excited, and just to probably go straight into it, conversion therapy, right? It's a hideous therapy. It's still being done in New Zealand, as we know. In fact, the TVNZ Sunday program that investigated this probably about a year ago, I think it was, they said it was surprisingly easy to find these practices. I'd be very keen to hear from you because obviously all three of you are sitting here concerned about this practice. Any of you want to start talking to me about what you know that this conversion therapy does or where it takes place or basically your experience with why this should be not existing in New Zealand? Go to it. They're all looking at each other, so one's going to start.
All right. Firstly, we have to define conversion therapy, which is a kind of therapy also known as reparative or cure therapy that aims to change someone's LGBTQIA+ orientation to heterosexual or cisgendered. It is done through many types of therapy. So we have psychoanalysis, talk therapy. In the past, we've had electroconvulsive therapy. And in some cases, patients have been shown same-sex pornography while being given nausea-inducing drugs.
Oh, my God.
In countries like America, it's a little darker where they have private conversion camps. And places like India, they've used sexual assault as a way to cure or heal someone. What we know about the therapy is that it's archaic, vestigial, and also cruel. We know that it does not work. However, there's an abundance of information that shows that it actually does a lot of harm, such as causes anxiety, depression, loss of sexual functions, and in the worst case, suicide.
Yeah, it's absolutely shocking. And look, I know you mentioned America and there before and the sort of levels of therapy that exist. I guess what I wanted to hear from you guys is what do you believe should be done in New Zealand? You know, obviously that there is an issue here with conversion therapy. We know that various organizations have banned it. You know, we've got the the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Psychiatric Association, but in New Zealand we also have the New Zealand Association of Psychotherapists, and they've all come out basically and saying this is not a therapy we condone. We believe this is illegal for reason of making things worse, not better. It's not proven to help. There's no evidence this can cure anyone, and that's not even talking about the fact that people aren't broken, so they need to be cured. Tell me about, because I know that you recently set up the hunting through my notes, conversion therapy action group.
Right, yeah.
And so why don't you tell me a little bit about why you thought it would be, I see Nahana's looking at me, why did you believe you needed to set up such an organization and what is it doing?
Well, the aims of the Conversion Therapy Action Group are to call for the ban of conversion therapy in Aotearoa for people of all ages, to support the survivors of conversion therapy, and to investigate and report on instances of conversion therapy in New Zealand. Well, this conversion therapy, it's shown to be harmful. It's condemned by almost all psychological associations across the world, and it's been banned in several national and subnational jurisdictions across the world as well, such as several states in the US, countries in Europe and South America as well. And it's unfortunate that it is not illegal in New Zealand currently. So we are calling for the ban of conversion therapy for all ages in New Zealand. In most states across the world, it is only banned for minors, but it is clearly shown to be harmful, as Chanel mentioned before, and it has no place in our country that values and accepts LGBTQI plus people. And it it goes against the code of ethics of many psychological associations. It is discriminatory against the queer community. It is harmful, and generally just is a horrible experience for those who've gone through it.
Yeah. No, look, that's a really good synopsis, Nahana. And I think you mentioned especially reporting of instances. And, you know, I'll shoot to my right where we have Max Tweedy. And Max was, of course, one of the petitioners. You know, you came and presented the Young Greens and Young Labour petition and the Rodney Rainbow petition to Parliament, more than 15,000 signatures, right?
20,000.
More than 20,000. Yeah. That's right, because we combined them, right?
Yeah.
And it was fantastic to see that you know, young people really got behind the support for the rainbow community. So what was your motivation of starting it? I mean, when we're talking about instances, one of the things I hear most frequently when I bring this up with people is, what is the evidence? Is this actually happening? Is this not a bit of hearsay, people that might just be told by an aunt, oh, look, you know, you're not gay, you know, you just, you know, need to meet a nicer girl. You know, is that conversion therapy? What have you, what is your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So we watched the TVNZ Sunday documentary, and I think, like, the rest of the country were quite horrified to learn that this was still occurring in our country in this day and age. And it was something that we then kind of, we leaped into action, because we then realised that none of our parties had policies on it either. That because we didn't really know it was happening, that our kind of parent parties, because at the time, you know, Young Greens, Young Labour, no party had policy on this. And so we decided that one of the most effective things that we could do was to, you know, to start this petition to ban it. And I think, you know, one of the really interesting things was in the TVNZ Sunday documentary, a reporter from TVNZ, Andrew McFarlane, was the one that went undercover and went through these therapies. Now, the documentary shows him in about three, but he actually went through about 10 instances of different people across the country. And he's a good friend of mine, and so I was talking to him about this afterwards, and he said, like, one night that he, you know, it was for him, it was so easy to solicit. And that was what he was really shocked by, because it was so easy to solicit. And they had one guy down in Nelson. One of us probably has his name, but I can't remember off the top of my head. David Riddell. And he was bragging that he'd done over 100 conversion therapies, and he had a 3-month waiting list. And so, you know, Andrew said that, you know, and Andrew's pretty comfortable in his sexuality, but he got back to his hotel one night in Christchurch and just lost it. He just was in tears and was an absolute wreck. And I think he'd only been through, you know, a few of the initial sessions. And so for him, he was like, gosh, if there's someone that's really secure in their sexual orientation that feels like this, then how do people who are really confused feel? So that was a lot of catalyst too. I had a, you know, personal connection to him and hearing his story, and that was really compelling. And for us, it was pretty simple. We think of ourselves as a progressive nation, and we decided to take some action. And over the course of roughly 2 to 3 weeks, it was a really short campaign. We received quite widespread support, no real backlash either, which was surprising and welcoming. And between us and Amanda Ashley, who presented the Rodney LGBTQ petition, we had 20,000 signatures and a pretty strong mandate that we handed over to the government.
Absolutely. And I want to acknowledge Amanda as well, who of course did so much good work for Rodney. And she's in our hearts and minds, and we will not forget what she's done. She's always here when we're talking about this. Just something you touched on, Max. You talked about a horrible story of people starting to question ourselves. And that is even the people that are quite maybe, you know, comfortable in their skins, who they are, and all of a sudden there's this this feeling creeping in, and that brings me back to something that Carl McDonald said when we had the interview, and I'll quote it because I thought it was really beautiful. He talked about validation and how important it is, and he said one of the cornerstones of any psychotherapy is the idea that it is only through acceptance of ourselves, the bits we like, and even more challenging, the bits we don't like, that comes true health. And I think if we look at the statistics that we have in New Zealand when it comes to mental health, when it comes to self-harm, and obviously, you know, you're looking at the LGBTQ community and where there's so much more, you know, the stats, I don't want to mention a number, but I think it's five times higher. Thanks, Janelle. And so we have an obligation, right? I mean, Janelle, I know your speech in Parliament, I get goosebumps when I think about it. I was sitting there and I was listening to you and I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is exactly what it is. And you said, and you pointed to the politicians, and you said, as politicians, you have an obligation to alleviate the collective suffering of your people. And I believe that goes to the core of it, right? When you guys mentioned before, there's no policies with the different political parties. I have a members' bill in the ballot because, you know, I obviously feel that it is something that we need to give due attention to because it is a problem. Why do you believe, Janelle, that making a ban, so making law, will be helpful?
There are two reasons. One, that currently what we have is young people under the age of being able to give consent on their own, being forced into conversion therapy, so they cannot turn to the parents and say, hey, this is illegal, you cannot do this. So that ban would mean that young people who are being forced to go into conversion therapy can then report and hold accountable organizations and their parents. Secondly, we talk about people who can consent or people who self-enlist. When we talk about people who self-enlist, what we fail to acknowledge is that we live in a homophobic New Zealand. We live in a society that is infused with homophobia, a society that is dripping with homophobia. So the need for love and acceptance will push anyone to try and conform to the norm. Mm. What we need to really do is validate their identity and tell them that who they are is the right thing. So this ban would mean that these therapies can now not offer their services and be held accountable.
Mm. Now, you know, of course, before I was able to put my member bills in the ballot, I did a lot of consultation just to feel out, you know, the different moods of the different people in the different parties, because there's a huge variety, you know. Obviously, Parliament represents the different people out there. So you'll get people from being absolute champions for the cause to people that are really questioning it. Perhaps, you know, some of the arguments they're bringing up is something that we need to discuss more. So I'd like to put it out there. A couple of the things that we're hearing, and I know Janelle mentioned young people. And I know that earlier on, I think Nahana said we have laws where, you know, like in America, where they have banned it for minors. So why, I'm putting the counter argument out there, right? Why should someone who wants to seek help be denied to use conversion therapy if they believe it will give them any benefit?
Well, first off, I mean, it has been proven by many psychological associations that this practice does cause significant harm to people, no matter what the outcome is. There is no reason why someone should be subject to that harm. The benefits don't outweigh the costs. Mm. That's basically the reasoning for it. And that argument has come up, you know, why can't people consent to seeking conversion therapy over the age of 18, which is why in many of these countries it's only illegal for minors. But of course, we as the Conversion Therapy Action Group are calling for the ban for all ages because we believe that the focus should be on accepting people for who they are. This basis for much of psychological therapy, psychotherapy, you know, positive affirmation and accepting people for who they are and building on who they are and, you know, encourage them to love themselves.
Absolutely.
I just want to add on that. I think the kind of premise of conversion therapy rests on two core tenets. The first is that having a diverse sexual orientation or gender identity is wrong. The second premise is that it can be changed. And of course, we know both of those things to not be true. And I think when we're looking at over 18s, we're actually looking at what, you know, I like to think of it as like an informed consent model. No one that is going into conversion therapy has a full access to knowledge or obviously affirmative, I guess, people in their lives or that sort of thing, right? They're in a place where they believe that they're wrong and that is on society, right? The kind of that sort of harm has been perpetuated by society and they believe that. And I think what that means is that they're in a really vulnerable position. And these are vulnerable New Zealanders that we're talking about, whether or not they're young or over 18. For someone to believe that who they are is wrong is a real indictment on society, I think. Chanel said, we are living in a homophobic, transphobic society. And I think so what this actually looks at is a ban for over 18 says, hey, look, there will be people that want to seek this out for themselves over the age of 18, but we think that because of what would actually cause them to believe that, and we know that's a harm, and we also know, I think that's the other thing, right, is it's like for someone to like solicit it, they'd have to be in a really dark space. And I think second to that, we would only make it worse for them. Conversion therapy only makes it worse. In 100% of cases, it makes it worse. In 100% of cases, it doesn't work. So why would we allow someone obviously suffering through, you know, pretty serious mental health challenges and in an environment where we have the highest suicide rates in the developed world to go through a conversion this therapy that would make it worse? It seems really, really archaic to me. And I think the argument just doesn't sit right with me, I think.
Yeah, look, and I think, Nahana and Max, you both mentioned the positive affirmation. And it's really important, I think, that we reassure people that it is very different if you have a ban on what conversion therapy is. It is really important at the same time, the positive affirmation, the validation through counselling is not something that is getting, you know, taken into that process. So what my members' bill actually very much clarified is that conversion therapy does not include counselling to assist a person undergoing gender transition, to provide acceptance, support, understanding, facilitate a person's coping, social support. And so it's very clear that the part of the positive affirmation through counselling is not part of a person not being able to seek the support. And I think that is really what we need to make clear to people. And that brings me to the next one. And Chanel, you might want to comment on this. Freedom of expression, right? That's the next thing that people will be talking about. I heard, as I was consulting and talking about my members' bill, a lot of comment from, where is that line? So if a person wants to offer conversion therapy or preach, you know, perhaps in the churches, preach the gay away, what should stop them? Are you taking away their right to freedom of expression?
Absolutely not. I'll let Max answer this later because he has a really good answer to this. But when we look at the laws in New Zealand, what we really have is a Bill of Rights of 1990, which protects freedom of religion and religious rights. However, it also states that religious rights are subject to justifiable limitations. So when we talk about, for example, praying the gay away, we know that it's harmful, same as when the Bible says in Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, that I do not give permission to women to assume authority. Then we don't go ahead and make laws saying that women can't be teachers or women can't be the Prime Minister of New Zealand. We don't do that because we know
Wouldn't we miss out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And we know that it is misogynistic and sexist and not the right thing to do. So protection of the well-being of queer youth is a justifiable limitation on religious rights. And we need to make clear what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is physical and psychological torture. We're talking about damage. Will religious people really argue that it is their right to psychologically and physically damage someone? That's what we're looking at here.
I think it's a very good answer, but Max, I'm very happy for you to tell us a little bit more about
it. I mean, this is one that has certainly come up in the discussion, and I think it's also a very robust discussion for us to have. And I think, it came up in Select Committee when I was presenting to the Justice Select Committee on the petition. I got asked, what about freedom of expression? Mm. What about freedom of religion? And I think it really comes down to, again, we look at it from a harm model, right? The Bible also says that homosexuals should be stoned to death, right? And obviously we don't allow that, and that's not an infringement of someone's religious freedom because it's a harm model, right? And I think we can apply the exact same lens to conversion therapy, that that if someone wants to do it in line with their religious beliefs, that actually it causes significant harm and they shouldn't be able to do it. It's one of those harms that I think that needs to be protected against. But on what, Chanel said, I think also we also have the Human Rights Act of 1993. And unfortunately, the Human Rights Act, and I will do a bit of advocating here, only protects sexual orientation. It doesn't protect gender identity, gender expression, or sex characteristics, and the other tenets of our rainbow community. And I think it's really difficult for us to look at this fully in a human rights context without acknowledging that actually a lot of our like trans, non-binary and intersex whānau aren't technically protected for who they are under that piece of human rights legislation. Now, I know that Justice Minister Andrew Little has signalled that he wants to make a move in that space, and I think it's really positive, but I think it's really worth acknowledging that this body of work for conversion therapy doesn't exist in a vacuum, that there's a bunch of other laws and protections that need to come in, because there was a report that came out last week, the Counting Ourselves report, that looked at the health and well-being of trans and gender diverse people in Aotearoa, and it said that 17% of trans and non-binary people had their gender identity tried to be changed and this is not by kind of a faith-based group or a kind of pseudo-counselor, by medical and psychological professionals.
I was shocked by those figures.
It's really shocking, and yeah. I think this is the piece that we also have to make sure that we bring them along with us too, that actually, because, sexual orientation is protected under the Human Rights Act, and that I think that's obviously a very positive thing, but we need to make sure that we're all there, and it is one that looks at a human rights framework, and that, we make sure that only affirmative care should be provided to our queer community.
Yeah, look, fabulous answers, guys. And I think something else, that was mentioned when it comes to the medical profession, especially in the Counting Ourselves survey, where it showed that so many people had been approached or not sent to a special BEN conversion therapy course or, a camp. This was actually, as you said, medical people not handling or not giving the right support to that person. So, perhaps there's a gap there, because I know that when I interviewed I think Shannon, let me get the right Shannon, we had two, it wasn't Shannon Nova, Shannon Greenwich. And she basically said that she believes that in that whole study, to become a psychotherapist or a psychologist, there's a piece missing where people learn about the rainbow community and where they basically learn more than, half a day information. So I think that it might have signaled something that at several levels, you talked about it's a bigger picture. There are several pieces of work that are needed. Human Rights Act, obviously, it seems to be very behind. I actually hadn't thought of it that way. But of course, 1990, there's a lot of gaps there that we need to obviously address.
Almost 30 years since
Yeah, that's really not good enough. And So good thoughts there. Hannah, maybe you want to have a little bit of a chat to me. Do you think there's a risk that if we were to put any legal framework around banning conversion therapy, is there a risk that it might go underground? Are we maybe, making some kind of a situation where, you know, people know they can't go to counselors to ask for this. They know that they, you know, can't, you know, they have to be very careful if they want to seek it out. So, or if they, sorry, if they're offering it, I should say as well. So it might it go into the dark corners of society, do you think?
I mean, generally, the comments we've been hearing are that people aren't supportive of conversion therapy at all. People are surprised to hear that it's still around, and it is pretty covert nowadays. Of course, unfortunately, it is easy to solicit, as was shown in the documentary, and as the reports have shown as well. With this law, as Chanel mentioned before, like it provides a legal framework for people to report these instances. Of course, like going back to the, freedom of expression, often we don't consider the fact that people, survivors, victims of conversion therapy, aren't in the position to make that decision themselves. They are coerced, they are vulnerable, they are forced into it. And so, if we have this framework, in place, we are basically telling, the LGBT community, our trans, Whānau are the takatāpui, basically that, you know, we love you, we accept you for who you are, and that we will do everything in our power to protect you. And that's what's most important here.
Yeah, so I guess what I hear from you is sort of the messaging that is going out from us as a government, as a society. The messaging is so important. So yes, some of these practices may already happen underground and a legal ban may never get rid of everything, but you're saying it's helpful because it's... You want to comment on that? Do you think it's
absolutely. Is murder legal in New Zealand?
Mm.
Do people kill each other?
Mm.
So
yeah,
of course, when there's a law around, not everyone is going to do the right thing. So, but there still is a law, so you can hold people accountable and ensure that it doesn't happen again. So, although it is being pushed underground, we can have people find these. It is important to like the fact that we don't even try is disappointing. We need to do better and we need to work harder because we know that our queer youth are vulnerable to a lot of mental health diseases. We know that they are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. We know that there's an additional 3 times high chance if they've been through conversion therapy. So we know that a lot of queer youth are dying at a faster rate and we have to do something. We must act now. And government inaction is not good enough.
Mm. So what if you come up, I know all of you have been lobbying out there, right? What are sort of the hurdles that you've come across? I mean, I know we've discussed some of them, but tell me some of the things that you've heard that you thought, well, yeah, that's just, that's the wrong end of the stick, or it's an argument I could easily counter. Just talk to me about what you've seen out there.
Yeah, I think a lot of them we've already covered. I think the 2 major ones are around that religious freedom argument and then the kind of freedom of expression argument. And I think I can quite easily sum that up as, do we want to allow the freedom of people to harm the queer community, or do we actually want to protect the freedoms of the queer community from this harm? And I think that's a really interesting way to look at it, the kind of freedom to, freedom from argument. But I think in a general sense, what's the hurdles is in that lovely big parliament. You know, I think it's interesting because politics always, and we know this, politics always gets in the way of doing what's right. And that's not necessarily an indictment on any party, but I think as a whole, the system and everything that kind of goes around it. And as queer people, this isn't new for us. Our rights being thrown around like a volleyball in that place is not new to us. And often it takes longer than it should to get our rights across. And that's not to justify it, but perhaps a reality that we accept. And I think, for us, we don't want to accept that reality. And I think, we have got probably one of the most progressive governments in a long time that we, I think queer people and kind of our society as a whole think that this should be something that's, included in their agenda. And I think, it's difficult because it's, there's cross-party work and, I won't comment on the specific nature of some of the people involved in those conversations, but, I think this is why, having the Young Nats come out and say that they support it is really positive, because we've had a bit of scaremongering from the Nats, both in the select committee when I was, Nick Smith,
You said you weren't going to mention names.
Well,
I think people probably had that in mind already.
Well, you know, like Dr. Nick Smith, you know, said, well, I don't believe in exorcisms, but doesn't mean I want to ban it. And it was just like, it was so ridiculous. You know, there's been a lot of scaremongering. So I think, you know, that is really positive that you know, the Young Nets have come out. I think it is political will that is our biggest biggest hurdle. There's certainly been, you know, there's certainly a mandate that we've provided.
Look, you guys, I told you half an hour would fly past. I'm looking behind you there, Max, because there's a clock ticking. And as you can see, we're nearly already done. So we might have to have a part two again. So thank you so much for being in the studio today, Chanel, Max, Nehana. It was wonderful talking to you. Lovely to see the actions that you're taking through the community. Sorry, not the conversion therapy action group. And I'm hoping people get behind us and do something about this hideous practice. Thank you so much.
Maya
Lubeck here, Labour Member of Parliament on Planet FM 104.6.
Get together next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.